Is it possible for children to have true encounters with God? And if so, how? Is it even important if they do? We began this discussion in part one by the same title last week. This is part two of the same teaching. If you did not hear the first part, please look for the link in the description below and watch it after you finish this one. By the way, if you've not already done so, please subscribe to my channel and do so now, so every time I upload a new video, you will be notified. Last week, we introduced three core values that are critical for children to have true experiences with God. They are core value number one, meet, core value number two, equipping, and core value number three, presence. Now, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into all three of those right now. In looking into this topic about kids encountering God, we're making a big assumption that you as the parent love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your body. That's the foundation right there for you to be successful in raising children and teenagers who are hungry and thirsty for encounters with God. They have to see the same hunger in you. They need to see you are hungry for the Word of God. They need to see you reading your Bible and quoting it and turning to it for help and guidance in your everyday life. I can't stress enough how valuable it is for you to guide your children in learning to read and love God's Word. They need core value number one, the meat of God's Word. If they don't have a foundation of the Word, they've got nothing to build their lives on or their faith on. Everything else is sinking sand. Just because your kids know the Bible stories doesn't mean they know the Bible. They need to know the doctrines taught in the Bible, the foundations of the Christian faith. They need to understand what they believe and why they believe it. The Bible needs to be a priority to you and your spouse, and so it has a fighting chance of being a priority for your kids. They're hearing so much gobbledygook at school, in movies, books, and social media, etc., that they're 1 hour in Sunday school every week, and that's assuming you even go once a week, is little protection against the thousands of hours that they are exposed to in godless beliefs and concepts from the world around them. Deuteronomy 6 verses 1 and 2 says, "These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I'm giving you, so that you may enjoy a long life." So what were the commands and the decrees? At that time, it was the equivalent of all of Moses' writings that he had heard from God on behalf of the children of Israel. Today, we have them written down in the first five books of the Bible. Some of those books are long and tedious, but God commanded that they were to be read to the entire Jewish community once a year, men, women, and children. Then Moses went on to say, beyond that once a year event, the parents needed to talk about those decrees and commands every day in their homes. Now don't panic, these were not sit-down Bible studies, but here's how he put it. Parents, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So what was that formula again? Impress God's word upon your children. How? You do this when you're sitting at home, sharing a meal, watching TV, doing homework, playing games, or just relaxing. Or when you're going back and forth in the car from the home to places like the school, the grocery store, sports practices, etc. You're to bring the Word of God into the conversation. Then when you go to bed at night and you're tucking the kids in, you are to be talking about the Word of God and how it applies and how it impacted their days. They need to know the Bible is relevant to their everyday life. Finally, when they rise up in the morning and they're eating breakfast and getting ready for school, you're to be talking about the things of God, specific scriptures about issues that they're dealing with in their lives. Then pray with them as they're going out the door for protection, for favor, covering them with the blood of Jesus and so on. In other words, it's not just one time a day or once a week, but every day, all day long, you are to spontaneously be impressing the Word of God upon your children and applying it to what's happening in your family and in their daily lives. Are you familiar with this scripture? It's quoted a lot, but how many of you have actually put it into practice to the best of your knowledge and ability? If you have, leave a comment for me below and tell me, has it been effective with your family? Now, the Word of God is a powerful two-edged sword by which we learn to divide truth from lies and the darkness all around us. Your kids don't even have a fighting chance to stand firm for Christ if they don't know the Word. And the little bit they will get at church each week can't possibly impact them the same way as when you're talking about it in your homes day and night. Not only will they grow strong in the Lord this way, so will you, because chances are you also need to improve your knowledge and trust in the Word. When you don't know the answers of some topic off the top of your head, there's so much information from trusted Christian sources that you can easily research it together as a family online. Core value number two, equipping. Equipping takes on many different forms, but most of the time it needs to take place in the home. Let me explain. As a children's pastor, I may be able to teach kids the basics of how to hear God's voice, or the mechanics, so to speak. But I am only with them 1 hour or so a week. But you're with them every day. It's at home where they need mom or dad to be constantly helping them to stop and pray and listen carefully to what the Spirit of God is saying every time they need to make a decision or encounter a difficult situation. You're to use it as a teaching time for them to listen for the direction of the Holy Spirit. Talk about encountering God. When your children learn how to hear the voice of God, they can potentially encounter God every day and in many ways. When your child learns how to hear God for himself or herself, especially if they're spending time reading their Bibles, they are so much better equipped to discern the lies of the enemy and the culture around them. But mom and dad, you need to make it a habit as well. Then talk about it with the family. Tell them every time you heard God give you some advice or direction, both when it turned out well when you were obedient and when you screwed up and didn't obey him. They need to know this is a real thing in your life, so they become comfortable with applying it to their lives. You as a family need to learn together to listen to the voice of God and obey. Make hearing God's voice and being led by the Spirit a daily part of your lives. Now, I've written two books on how to hear the voice of God, one for adults and one for teenagers. And we have a curriculum for children that we use also to teach them how to hear God's voice. Many homeschool parents buy this. We give a 25% discount to homeschool parents, and they use this to teach their children at home as well. So we have lots of resources to help you. Now, if you've read any of my books, please leave a comment below and let me know if they've been helpful for you at all. One of the easiest ways to teach kids to hear God's voice when you're just starting out is to teach them about their conscience. Everybody has a conscience. Our conscience is one of the first ways we can learn to recognize the voice of God. Everyone knows what a guilty conscience feels like, even young children. So we also know what a good, clear conscience feels like. Those are the first basics of understanding how to hear the voice of God. If you don't know where else to start, start there. Talk to your children about what their conscience is and talk to them and ask them, have they ever felt a guilty conscience or a clean conscience? Then teach them that's the voice of God speaking to them. Once they grasp that concept, you can build from there. But it's critical that you and your children learn to hear the voice of God. This is one of very significant ways they will encounter God on a regular basis. Another way is through prayer. How important is prayer in your family anyway? Do you take time to teach your children to pray over something besides their food? And I don't just mean the God bless mommy and daddy and my dog Spot kind of prayers either. I mean real life-changing prayers. Prayer is an exciting adventure in many ways, but it's in prayer they will get even better at learning to hear God's voice. Besides seeing prayers answered, which many times are genuine miracles, they will frequently feel His presence when they're praying. That's another way to encounter God. Most people, particularly children, think prayer is boring, and it can be, unless you teach them to pray real prayers, or prayers about real life events going on in the world and the people around them. Then give them Bible verses and show them how to use those scriptures to make prayers. You can get very creative about prayer and use prayer objects to help you focus on the various needs around you. There's many fun and creative ideas in our curriculum on the power of prayer, but also there's a lot of free resources on the internet as well. Children also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and learn to pray in tongues. Yes, kids can pray in tongues at early ages. This is one of the most powerful ways they can encounter God. They can have very significant experiences at the time of their infilling, but also beyond that. This experience makes our spirits even more sensitive to His voice. We learn to hear God better when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Regularly praying in tongues builds up their spirits and makes their inner man stronger. But they need to see and hear you do it at home too, so they know it's not just something you do at church. It's meant to be a part of their everyday lives. So then, learning to hear God's voice, being filled with the Spirit, and learning to pray real prayers. These are three powerful ways your children can encounter God in significant ways. But they have to be encouraged and nurtured and taught their value from you. Now, there's many other things that we could have listed here, but we have a time limit on how much we can actually say. So we could have talked about equipping children to heal the sick and operate in the nine gifts of the Spirit spoken about in 2 Corinthians. But you'll have to get some of my other resources to find out more about that. The last core value we're going to talk about today is number 3, experiencing the presence of God. What do we have if we do not have His presence? How boring is church if we never feel His presence? And if we adults feel that way, how do you think your children feel? No wonder so many children think church is boring. They must be able to feel God and sense His presence to know He's really real and not just a religious story we made up. It's not necessarily automatic to them that they recognize His presence. They're going to have to be taught, kind of in the same way that little Samuel in the Old Testament had to be taught to recognize the voice of God. The presence of the Lord in a church service or at home is not just the icing on the cake, it is the cake. Wasn't it Moses who said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." King David said, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." These men had experienced God's presence and how special it was, and they didn't want to be without it. These great men longed to be in the presence of the Lord, where His glory dwelled. It's in His presence that we experience His glory ourselves, and that's what this generation is hungry for. They don't want or need more good entertainment. This generation was made for the glory of God. Do you ever think about inviting the presence of God into your home, your family time? Do you think the presence of God is important? Is it something that's valuable to you? And if so, then it can become valuable to your children as well. One of the easiest ways to experience God's presence at home is to turn on some good worship music, gather the children together and your teenagers to worship the Lord. And by the way, this is another way your children will encounter God. But it seems like there's 1,000 other things that take priority over the spiritual growth and development of our children in our Christian homes. Did you know that fewer than 10% of Christian households spend any time at all during a typical week either reading the Bible or engaging in quality prayer together as a family unit? Fewer than 1 in 20 of church households ever worship God outside of a church service in a typical week. Nearly 9 out of every 10 parents of church kids, or 87%, are completely satisfied with whatever it is their youngsters are receiving from their church. Yet we know the church is producing very few spiritual champions who go on to embrace their faith as adults. And most kids are not experiencing God there. So we shouldn't be surprised to discover that only 2/3 of the children of churched families are not even born again yet, much less filled with the Spirit. But ironically, 72% of those parents believe they're doing a stellar job of nurturing their children's relationship with the Lord. Let me remind you, as parents and church leaders, children don't go to heaven because they're cute. They go to heaven because they have a relationship with Jesus. If we do not make room for Him or the Holy Spirit in our families and our homes, it's going to be a miracle if our children grow up to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, mind, and strength. If we think it's valuable as adults to encounter God in any way you want to name, and if it encourages you and makes you want to grow deeper in the Lord, then keep in mind it's valuable for your children. What are you as a parent willing to sacrifice in order to raise a child who will follow hard after God? For faith to effectively live in the heart of a child, it must first be modeled in the home. Statistical facts are, if we don't capture the hearts of our children when they're young, before their teenage years, we won't have them when they're grown up. Your spiritual hunger will largely determine the spiritual hunger of your children. But you can't shut the door on them and leave them out. You've got to bring them into that. We can't afford to lose the next generation. God may be using you to prepare the next Joshua or Elijah or the next Billy Graham. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something that you do, but someone you raise. The greatest delusion parents have today is to suppose that children will be devout Christians simply because their parents have been. It doesn't happen by accident. The most spiritual place on the planet should not be the church. It should be our homes. Parents, you are the pastors in your home. What you say to your children about spiritual things and about the Lord and about the Word of God carries far more weight than what their children's pastor says. Our question for this session was, can children encounter God, and if so, how? While there is so much more we could say, I believe we've covered the most important basics, and what we have discovered is it's not what they experience at church that matters nearly as much as what they experience at home. What you do on purpose as the parents makes all the difference in the world. Look, everybody's busy. All families are overwhelmed and over their heads in problems and issues, demanding jobs and tight schedules. God knew that would happen, but it's all about priorities. That's why He made it easy for us to disciple our kids at home. That's Deuteronomy 6. The bottom line is, you have to believe it's important, and you have to want to do it. You have to make your number one priority, if it matters to you at all, that your children grow up to love and serve the Lord. Nothing is more important than that. Your child has only about a 99.2% chance of ever getting hired on some professional sports team. But he has a 100% chance of standing before God someday, giving account for how he lived his life. I encourage you to go to my website, check out the family resources we have for parents and children. And until I see you again, God bless you. Let's go after our kids.